All right. Welcome. Welcome, you all. Holy cow, we had lots of people sign up for this, and I'm excited how many people want to learn more about themselves and learn more about Ayurveda. Let's see. Alex, I am going to co-host you. Awesome. Oh my gosh, Alex, we haven't hung out in a long time. This is really exciting. We get to hang out and talk about constitutions. Holy cow.
Yeah. Hello, everybody.
All right, we'll get going in just a minute here. It usually takes people a minute to arrive. So I would love to see in the chat, what is your, so we're talking about constitutions today. So it's a what is your constitution, or go deeper into your constitution. I brought my trusty pad to draw pictures on as we talk. I'm really into visual learning. And before I introduce me and Alex and the whole thing that we're doing here today, I would just love to know in the chat, like, what is your interest in Ayurveda particularly? We have four of these master classes, and I'll do a quick overview on all the different topics, but I would just love to hear, like, what are people drawn into Ayurveda looking for? Like, what are you looking for from Ayurveda, and or what are you looking for next for those of you who have been, like many of us here, on the Ayurveda path for a while, some of us for decades. So that just really kind of helps us orient the conversation to you today. All right. And we're still coming in, it looks like. Okay. So cool. So people just wanting to learn more, people from yoga and love Ayurveda, better living, aging with grace. These are great reasons, really great reasons to study Ayurveda for stability, integrity, reducing inflammation. Boy, I have a lot to say about that. Learning balance, understanding yourself, good self-care, the principles of balance. Okay, awesome. And Erica, I'm glad you said you have no idea. It just feels like I'm drawn to finding out.
That's awesome.
Right. I kind of felt like in the beginning with me and Ayurveda, it was a little bit of like a magnetic draw into wanting to know more. When I was interviewing Prashanti DeJager in the Ayurveda Summit years ago, this was, I don't know, 6 years ago. And he said it so well. He's like, some people are just smitten by Ayurveda. It's almost like you just have to know more or learn more. And the little that you might know makes you want to learn more. And then the more you know makes you want to learn more. And even for experts, it can be a lifelong passage. Okay, awesome. So I'm gonna introduce the series, and I'm gonna introduce my co-host today, Alex. I'm just gonna screen share for a hot minute and go into just what we're doing in this series. We teach a Living Ayurveda course here at Yoga Healer since 2007. We've been teaching an online global Ayurveda course, which to me was a way that I could have the kind of in-depth living conversation about Ayurveda with those who wanted to learn more and go deeper. And we just haven't stopped. It seems like, I don't know, Alex, it seems like we keep getting better, doesn't it?
I remember that first email that you wrote before you taught that first Living Ayurveda course. And I was thinking to myself, oh my God, what's she up to now? And I very much remember that line. It said, read your body like a book. That was your drawing. I'm like, what a cool way to put this. Read your body like a book. I still remember that, 2007.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, that was I did a four email series. Now we have a four masterclass series to like help people who want to see if they do want to learn more. And that's really what we're doing in this masterclass series, is it's a discovery process. If you really do want to study Ayurveda, this is a great way to start to get a deeper dive into it. And if you want to study Ayurveda with us, then it'll be a natural fit to start with us in the Living Ayurveda course in October. So today's class is, Alex and I are going to talk about constitution, about Vata, Pitta, Kapha. And then in a week, me and Linda. And Linda, I can see you're here. Awesome. Good to see you. We're going to talk about rewilding and revitalizing your diet with Ayurveda. And it'll be diet and the rewilding habits that are really part of the yoga healer community and the living Ayurveda community right now. So that's going to be a very, I would say, very cutting edge class. And then Sarita and I, and these are the Living Ayurveda course mentors. So I don't teach the Living Ayurveda course by myself anymore, thank goodness. And part of the reason we have a number of mentors in the course is I find Ayurveda is very, it's very personal, and having perspectives from other teachers will help. It's like the more different perspectives you have around the same concepts, the deeper you'll go in your own path and your own personalization of Ayurveda. And I'll define what Ayurveda is in a minute. So Sarita and I are going to talk about trauma in chronic pain and chronic inflammation and chronic illness. So if, again, this is an open free series. So if you know, if you're like today works out well for you and you're like, I learned a lot, and you know someone that's in chronic inflammation or chronic stress or has chronic illness, and you're like, I should send them to this class, then please do. We're all in this together for a healthier world. And then Robert and I are going to be talking about Dharma, which is life purpose and designing your life, relationships and spiritual growth, which like, I know Robert, we only have like an hour and 15 minutes to do that. And it's quite ambitious, but you know, we'll do our best. I've written a book on Dharma called Master of You. And I know we'll be able to get through a lot. For those who don't know me, I've been doing the same thing for a really long time. I started Yoga Healer 20 years ago with a Dreamweaver website, and I've just really been trying to bridge the gap in a lot of ways between East meets West, and for people like myself who are Westerners who are raised in a fairly reductionist, more scientific mindset, to access the deep wisdom traditions of the world, and primarily through the lenses of yoga and Ayurveda and enlightenment. And so with that, I've created a number of curriculums. I've written a number of books, and we coach. Like, that's what we do here, is we coach people to results. We're very much a results-driven organization here at Yoga Healer. We want people to thrive in their bodies and in their lives in real time. All right. Now, introducing Alex, this is going to be kind of fun. Let's see. How do we spotlight both of us? Let me do that. Okay. There we go. So Alex and I, we've known each other since we shouldn't even get back into our whole history together, but we met at a wellness the Sun Valley Wellness Festival.
2004.
Yeah, so we've been buddies for a long time. Alex is also taught at the California College of Ayurveda. She's would say world class body worker, like one of the best people. If you ever want someone's hands on your body, it would be Alexandra Epley. She has just an enormous amount of wisdom and skill, both on the yoga mat as a yoga teacher, as a body worker, as an Ayurvedic teacher. And that's why, you know, when I select mentors for the Living Ayurveda course, I was just really happy when Alex joined us years ago and has stuck around, especially for our pro healer path. We have a lot of people in Living Ayurveda who are yoga professionals, who are Ayurvedic professionals, and wanting our perspective and wanting to deepen their own mentorship and conversation. So it's just awesome. Awesome to have you here today, Alex, and awesome just to have you as a Living Ayurveda course mentor in general. Anything you want to add? German. You're back in Germany.
No, I'm back in Germany. Now, I hope I can still speak English, and there's nothing that really wants to come, but... Sometimes I don't find my English words anymore, but it's all right. But I'm happy to be here, so I'm still happy. And to your question of because you said we keep getting better, I want to say we keep evolving and being on the edge of what's needed today. You know, it's always changing every year, and I find that the way you lay out the course, you always have in mind what's up right now. You know, what do we need? How do we need to change to make it better? And I think that this is the evolution I think, you know, it was a great course in 2007, and it's a great course now because it keeps changing with the needs of the day or the needs of time.
Yeah. Awesome. All right. So what we're going to talk about today, we're going to talk about what is your constitution. And it was interesting. I was thinking back to when the first workshop, I had read a book on Ayurveda, and then I went to a workshop. And it's interesting for me to think back of, it was at the Montana Herb Gathering. And this one woman who had been to, I think she'd gone to an Ayurveda college for a couple of years, and she was just starting her practice, and she gave a 1 hour talk. And I feel like that 1 hour talk really changed my life. Like I was already interested, like many of you, like interested enough to know that you want to know more. And then in an hour, I had a much deeper understanding of who I was and why certain truths or certain things worked for me that didn't work for other people, and why certain things really didn't work for me that were just part of like what most people thought you should do in order to be healthy and happy. And so my hope today is that we do the same for you. All right, so I'm gonna draw on my pad. I find that visual learning really is much more effective than just talking heads. And so what I wanna do is, I don't know. I mean, for me with constitutions, like a lot of people talk about constitutions in terms of these three types. So we have Vata type, which is the light type. It's longer and thinner physically. Mentally, it's much more agile. It's very spontaneous, more sporadic. We have the Pitta energy, which is fire. And this fire energy is much more focused. It's much more driven in the body. It's more mesomorphic. And I'm going to keep saying the same things again and again. So don't worry if you don't catch it the first time. I find circular teaching is quite effective. And the thing about Pitta is that there's a level of potency and intensity where the energy is more, it's more directed than in Vata, where the energy is a little bit more free. It's a little more unleashed. And the energy in Kapha is the energy that stores. It's the energy that coheses or brings things together. So people that have more of a Kapha constitution in their physically will tend towards a body that's more dense, like stronger bones, more musculature, just more of a dense constitution. And emotionally will have a lot more stability, but can tend towards complacency, can tend to get stuck, get kind of stuck because of that tendency of cohesion. Now, one of the big problems today with constitution is that we are dealing, we're living in a culture of where basically most people are overweight statistically. And so what happens is that the weight gets layered on to these constitutions, which makes it harder to understand what it is. But I just want to really from the get-go here say, like, if you are a bigger person, you might be a Vata. You might still be Vata, but have excess weight. Or you might be Pitta and have excess weight. Or you might be Kapha and have excess weight. But the weight is not the same as the constitution. And I kind of feel like saying, repeat after me. Weight is not the same as constitution. Because I know for a lot of people coming in, they're like, oh, I'm a bigger person. I must be Kapha. But that's really not it at all. The difference is like, what were you like as a child can often, you know, especially people that weren't overweight as children, understanding, you know, maybe more of where you were right about then. Now, before we go any further than with this, I want to give us a tangible experience of these energies, because that's really what we're talking about here. We're going to talk about energies and we're going to talk about elements, and both of these things are a bit of your constitution. And I'm going to talk for a little bit and then I'm going to let Alex talk, because I'm just going to say a lot in the next few moments. So what I want you to do is actually notice these as energies. And what I'm going to have you do is just take your hand in front of your mouth and blow on your hand. Just exhale onto your hand. So that wind that you feel coming out of your mouth, that's Vata. That's the wind. That's the lightness. Now, the warmth, you feel the warmth coming out, like the inside is a little warmer than the outside, unless maybe you're in like Phoenix right now. That warmth, that's Pitta. And that moisture, you feel the moisture that's coming out of your lungs and out of your mouth, which are moist environments. Your body's a moist of water laden environment. That's kapha. So in the simplest way, that's how to understand that these are forces. They're part of every cell of your body. They're part of your body, and we have them in different proportions. So some people have more of that water element, more of that cohesion, more of that moisture. And you can tell, like, oh yeah, the moisture, that's more dense. Water weighs more than air. And so when you're feeling that cough, it's like, okay, that's that moisture. So people have more moisture in their body, that moisture coheses and it gathers energy. And that's why I have that word down there, stores. That kapha stores energy. So under stress, a kapha type person is not gonna lose weight. Their body's gonna hold on for dear life and they're gonna hold on and store. Does anyone here gain weight under stress? Like times get hard and you're like, yep, I'm gonna put on some pounds. Like that's a sign of kapha. Whereas vata, it moves energy, but it also disperses energy. So rather than collecting energy, it lets energy go. It constantly moves energy. So if anyone loses weight under stress, that's a sign that you have more vata in your constitution, right? Where the energy is just going to move apart. It's going to disperse rather than gather. That's what think of like the wind moving through a pile of leaves and it blows the leaves all over the place. That's dispersion. And that's where when a vata type under overwhelm will generally become more scattered, will become more fragile, emotionally fragile, have a harder time dealing with stress. Now, a pitta type will tend not to really gain or lose weight under stress. They might do a little, you know, a little on one side or a little on the other. In general, pittas like a lot of stress. They rise to the occasion. They might procrastinate to the end, have a lot to do and get it done and get all fired up and move forward. And that tends to be a pitta type tendency. Of course, they can burn out and they can in burnout, like when you keep burning the fire, it eventually burns itself out. And that is one of the big dangers of people with a pitta constitution is they keep pushing themselves too hard. And they'll do that in a way that the other constitutions will tend not to do as much. All right, Alex, anything to add?
Somebody in the chat was asking, she thought kapha was earth. And I just want to say that kapha is a combo of water and earth.
Yeah. So let's go into that. Cause I do want to talk about that. I think what'll be helpful is to, because, you know, when I was thinking about teaching this workshop, I was thinking like when I was more doing a lot of Ayurvedic consultations as a practitioner, I would really differentiate almost based on the elements.
Definitely.
You know,
I agree with you. I agree. I do that too.
Okay.
Much more specific now.
Right. It's a lot more specific. So I'm going to draw these figures in exaggeration just because it's easier to, often in Ayurveda, we deal with the hyperbole to make the point. It's sometimes easier to make the point. Okay. So the doshas are a combination of elements. So elements are building blocks. The way I think of it is like an element is a noun and a dosha. That's what these are. These are doshas. That a dosha, it's a force, which means it's an energy, which means it's a verb. It's going to do something. It's going to move, it's going to burn, or it's going to store. And I'm simplifying, but it's good enough for now. So when we get to the elements, we're talking about like, this is a noun, like these are things that we can actually talk about. They're not as subtle as energies. So someone with more vata in their constitution, vata, it's the wind, and it's not just, wind doesn't occur in a vacuum, wind occurs in space. And space is, the word we use for space in Ayurveda is ether, and it's the same thing. Now, the nature of space is that it expands. So I love the, I love again, like some of the things that we can all relate to, like if someone's like a space cadet, right? Does everyone know that what I'm talking about? Like has anyone ever met someone or been labeled? Maybe you're more high ether and like, you're kind of a space cadet. One of the cool things about people that are space cadets, meaning they can get there, they can often have thoughts that are really outside the realm of what everybody else is thinking. They're drawing ideas from like out there, from the ethers, from like way out there. And it can be really hard for people that have a lot of ether to deal with living in modern day life. Whereas if someone's high in fire element, they're really here now, they're focused, they're moving forward, they're moving into the future. And these people have a much easier time dealing with how the world works today. If anyone feels like you're really struggling with like how the world works today, and I feel like we all kind of are because the world's sort of weird today, and we're pretty disconnected from nature. But the people that are going to have the least hard time with how the world works today are going to have more kapha, are going to have more earth element, more water element, more fire element. Okay, so people that have a lot of wind in their constitution, and wind is, this is movement across space. So if you blow on your hand, your breath is moving from one place to the other. So it's traveling across time and it's traveling through space. Now, wind is actually the motion. So it's really different than space. Like space expands, but wind is moving. So if you're a kind of person who really likes to move around a lot, has trouble sitting still, has trouble completing projects, right, has trouble following through on things, but has like a ton of really good ideas and likes to interact with people and likes to move from A to B, right? Then that's a sign that you have more vata in your constitution and you're more of the air type. So some of the issues with people that have more either ether or wind in their constitution, and again, here we're talking about vata body types, is that because there's so much space and there's so much air, both of these have an attribute that is cold and dry because the wind dries things out, and it's mobile because it's moving and it's expansive. And part of the problem is that these attributes don't have the grounding of earth and they don't have the heat of fire. And the heat of fire allows things in the body like body warmth. So if you get cold really easily, that's a sign that there's vata in the constitution. If you have trouble digesting, like you have to be pretty careful about what you eat. It's a sign that your digestive fire, again, that's fire element, right? That your fire is a little weaker. And because the wind blows things around, it's like you might be pretty erratic in your habits. And that lack of stability, which is part of the mobile quality, that erraticness is what can make it really hard to find balance, to like get in good habits with going to sleep at the same time and have good habits around eating food around the same time, or even following through on the things that you're trying to do consistently. And that's one of the biggest struggles of people that have a lot of vata. And so a lot of what people learn in understanding more about their constitution is they start to learn how to balance themselves, like how to counteract some of their innate tendencies. And because the elements have qualities, and again, these are the qualities, these are the adjectives that describe the nouns, those qualities, what happens is they can accumulate over time. And so for someone that has a lot of vata and isn't counterbalancing for these qualities, is what can happen is they can feel very unstable. They can feel like really unstabilized in the world today, like hard to be consistent, moving to a goal, making things happen, feeling grounded or feeling rooted, feeling connected, feeling attached. It can be quickly, they might pivot through relationships much more quickly and have a hard time developing the kind of stability that would enable them to feel that sort of warmth of relationship and the groundedness of long-term connections. Anything to add, Alex, to air, ether, vata?
Yeah, I'm watching the chat a little bit. So I think one Corin is asking, how does aging affect doshas? And I think that is a good one to plug in here too, because the older you get, the more vata rises in your body. And vata also has that idea of destruction. Vata destroys things because it's so mobile. It moves things constantly because there's so much expanse and so much movement, you know, that vata breaks things down. And so the older you get, and there was another question in the chat that relates to it. There was someone asked, I can't remember who it was. I'm trying to make friends with my kapha. I'm trying to embrace my kapha-ness, something like that. No, you will embrace it the older you get, because past 35, vata starts to rise and it keeps rising, 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 rising until you die. And if you have a lot of vata already in your constitution, it's you will have a little bit of a harder time than a kapha, because kapha has that denseness, that strength, and the vata that rises when you age can eat off of that strength, but you won't feel it as much as a kapha with a kapha constitution as you would feel it with a vata constitution.
Yeah, you know, and I really wanted to speak to this because the falling in love. The falling in love with yourself. I think it was Gurdjieff, the philosopher, who said, like, live as if everyone around you, including yourself, is going to die, right? Like you get about 100 years here. The gift of your constitution, like the gift of whatever configuration of the elements that you have, is going to naturally move through these phases to death. So let's not ignore that we don't get out of here. We don't get out of here alive. And that the physiology that you've been gifted with is your asset. Now, I think a lot of, you know, what happens too in modern culture is it's like there's certain body types that are popular in the media during certain phases of, if we look at a long-term history, like during different phases of culture. So right now we're in a culture that thinks that like tall and skinny is the best, right? Rather than a dense, more stocky build. And we move through everyone moves through all phases of life, the kapha childhood phase, the pitta adulthood phase, the vata end of life phase. We all move through all phases. Now, what have you got? Like, what do you get to do this 100 years with? Move in. And that's really my message, is like, own it, sister, you know, own it, brother. Like, whatever you've got, you want to be fully embodied in the natural assets of your constitution. And when you're in that, there's less of this preference to be someone that you're not. And if Ayurveda teaches anything, it teaches this concept, the core concept, regardless of your constitution, is svastha. And that means to be, sva is self. And this means to be seated in yourself. So what you want to do is move fully into your constitution. A lot of things we're going to talk about today, you're like, I'm in multiple categories. I have multiple elements. And that's true. You have all five elements. You have all three doshas. You have some more than others. Now, one of the main distinctions that you want to make is that what is some of the qualities that show up in your mind or your personality? I'll tie those two things together, your mind and personality. And what are some of the qualities that show up in your body? So for instance, like my body is a little bit more kapha than the other doshas. It's a little bit more stable. It tends towards density, and elementally it has more earth than water. So earth is the density. It's the stability. It's the rock solidness. My husband's also kapha. My kid has a lot of kapha, and we're like dense. Like you try to like pick any of us up and they're like, oh, heavier than I thought. Right. If you've ever picked up a kid and you're like, oh, that kid's heavier than I thought. That's kapha. That's that weightiness of earth. Water element is also heavy, but it's squishier. It's softer. So I just want to go through, I know I'm jumping around a bit, but some of the qualities of water is that it's soft. It's obviously wet, so it's got a fluidity to it. And some of you that have more of a, you know, even in your personality, have a softer personality. there's a sweetness that comes with water. People usually like to hang out with people that have more kapha, because they naturally cohese. Their energy gathers. So it gathers other people to them. Like if there's someone you're like, I just like to have them around, you know, like I'm going to invite them to the party or invite them on the trip, because they kind of equalize everybody else's energies out. That's kapha. That's the natural cohesive, sweet softness of kapha that's coming from the water element. Personality wise, people that have more earth element, they're very stable. They can become very attached, like they're very much in the real world right now, in day-to-day life, as it's showing up right now. They don't live as much in the future. If they're not in the present, they're going to orient more towards the past because they accumulate. So the accumulation of memory, the accumulation of possessions. If you're someone who like, you like to have the fridge full, you like to have a lot of comfy pillows on the couch, like you like the closet to be full, you like a lot of stuff around. That's a natural kapha type tendency that we like to gather and to store. And in the personality, this stability can be really great for someone who's super reliable, right? Someone who's going to follow through. They're not going to forget things like a Vata type will, but they're also not going to come up with the next innovative idea like the Vata type will. Personality in terms of fire element in the mind with Pitta. There's again, fire, like you can burn yourself on fire. Fire has an intensity. It has a focus. It has a direction. It rises. So it goes somewhere. Vata has many directions. It can go in any which way. It can pivot on a dime. Whereas fire just rises. Water will take the path of least resistance. So it's directional, but it's only directional with gravity. Earth doesn't really go anywhere, right? Earth really has to tend with gravity. It's like, it can't flow like water. So that fluidity that's part of water isn't there with people that have more the earth element and kapha. And so it's easier for a kapha type to get stuck. A kapha type can get stuck in a habit pattern, they can get stuck in a relationship, they can get stuck in a living environment, like living in the same place for too long, even though they don't want to live there, because it's hard to flow, it's hard to move, it's hard to pivot, it's hard to shift, it's hard to shape shift, it's hard to make new friends, right? And that's part of the, you know, again, there's trade-offs, no one gets a free ride here, like there's trade-offs with all the different types, and knowing what you are, and knowing your Achilles heel. That's really, to me, what knowing your constitution is all about. So again, in the mind, Pitta has focus, it has intensity, it has heat. And so it can burn other people. If you've ever been burned by someone, chances are that person had a lot of Pitta. It has that drive. It also has an interesting quality of oiliness. So it can be kind of, in the personality, it can be slick. Like think of like a slick salesperson. Like that sort of slickness, that slyness, that's part of the attribute of more of Pitta. All right, where are we at, Alex?
Go back to Svasta. Before the call, Kate asked me about why do you think people or course members or in general, what have I noticed about why do they want to know their dosha? What's the benefit of it? And as I thought about it this afternoon, I was like, I think it's really about getting to know yourself. That's really what I'm getting from the course members. Yeah. The longer they stick around, because now there are some people who have come back, and some people are new, some people are coming back and whatnot. But overall, over the years, I've noticed that there's this deep dropping into the self that comes from knowing your dosha and really observing it. And there's just something about understanding it here. But then over time, I understand I'm a Vata and this and that. And then you do things and it's like, oh, I really understand I'm Vata. Oh, and then the year after that, oh, I really understand I'm Vata. Oh, now I'm starting to feel that I'm Vata. And it's really dropping into the body. And I've noticed that over time, the quality of conversation also changes because people keep dropping in and really know themselves.
Yeah, And I'm thinking of like, I'm not sure if she, you guys, I'm having sometimes when I screen share. Okay, here it goes. Now I can see everybody. I was going to see if Beverly's here. So Beverly is an example of someone who's really high Vata, and she's in Vata time of life. So her constitution's probably mostly Vata, some Pitta, and like just enough Kapha. So she's got a lot of lightness to her. And when she, you know, in her, watching her through the course, and she's been in Living Ayurveda, people do stick around. That's the thing about yoga healer courses, is people tend to stick around for a while, for years. Is as she got to know her constitution, there's this compassionate experience with who you are as an individual. And because Vata has more fragility, and I don't mean that in a bad way either. It's more of like a deep sensitivity. There's just not a lot of insulation with Vata that the other constitutions, they simply have more density. Even people with fire will have more density than people with air and ether. And she started to understand like, oh wow, like I really can't treat myself like other people treat themselves. The stakes are higher. I feel pain more easily, more quickly. I have I have a shorter leash when it comes to eating food that my body can't digest, because I'll get bloated really good, right? And this is a typical scenario of a Vata person starting to deeply befriend their constitution, including the assets of that, of like, oh wow, I can, because Vatas are super, they've got access into the ethers, right? They've got access, their awareness is much more subtle. So for them to even like sit in meditation and drop into a much more subtle, because that's really one of the, I didn't write it down here, but this is the one of the, I would say the chief attribute of Vata is its subtlety. It can experience the subtle realms of beingness. And to me, that's like, wow, like a lot of people that are Kapha and try to meditate, it's like so hard to get out of the everyday mind, right? Of the mundane, like, okay, this is where I am. I'm sitting in this room. I've got my timer on for 15 minutes. I've got a pain in my knee. Like, oh, I'm just like, you know, okay, I'm going to count my breaths. And like, just that density, it's hard for Kaphas to transcend out of, is right there for Vatas. So often Vatas will have a very expansive spiritual practice in spiritual life, where they can dissolve, because they're already pretty close to dissolution anyways. They can dissolve into the experience of beingness. And that's so peaceful. And that's so, so, so grounding for Vata. So like for a Vata to not have a practice of being able to just sit and exhale and be and access their subtlety, what can happen is that their nervous system can burn out. So a lot of people today, a lot of people that come into Living Ayurveda course, that have more Vata in their constitution, often have health issues that have to do with, usually with the immune system breaking down. So autoimmune diseases. And Vata types tend, and Pitta types as well, will tend, their immune systems will break down more easily because they don't have the insulation of Kapha. But also because the nervous system is dictating what happens in the immune system. So if your nervous system is really reactive, it's like you're constantly reactive, or you're constantly feeling overwhelmed, you have a chronic overwhelm to everyday life. If you have more Vata in your constitution, that can crush you. It can weigh down on your nervous system and start to break down your immune system. And then it's much, at that point, you can often have the issue of the body attacking the body, which is autoimmune. And that's the opposite of Svastha. So where the self attacks the self, that's the opposite of being deeply seated and grounded in the self. All right, so what questions do you guys have? We just did like a really fast overview of the different shapes, the different constitutions. Again, any of these, I'm going to draw this on. And I have a series of podcasts. Linda, if you could find them and put them in the chat, this would be great. I have a series of podcasts on overweight Vata, overweight Pitta, overweight Kapha. There's three of them published on Yoga Healer. Because what can happen is any of these body types can carry more. And because this is a problem in modern culture where, like, we have, you know, we have processed food, we have a sedentary lifestyle, we have a really weird profit-driven food industry. And if we look at the history of human beings, a lot of stuff that we're eating today hasn't been around for very long. Sugar in the quantity that we're eating it, salt in the quantity that we're eating it, processed foods, fake foods, chemical laden foods, and our physiologies don't know how to process it. And this can add, it can add a layer, which can make it much more confusing to understand, like, who am I under this? And I just want to say, there's like no judgment to it. We're just wanting to find, what is our ultimate nature. And the more we understand our constitution, it'll help us actually be able to balance our weight. So I just want to talk about this briefly. Alex, do you want to describe like what a Vata with excess weight, like what that would feel like and what some of their challenges would be, maybe in context of the other constitutions with excess weight?
I'll leave that up to you.
Okay. I'll go for it. Yeah. And you can just add in. So with, because Vata has a hard time digesting and has a hard time eliminating. So people with a Vata constitution will usually have, they'll be more sensitive. And they'll be more sensitive with all of their senses, but particularly their ears. So they can feel bombarded in like today's day and age. They can feel bombarded just picking up their phone and looking at social media. It can just be like so much. And so what often a Vata will tend to do is, because their digestion, absorption, and elimination is weak, because they're not as high in fire, they can't burn and process food into tissue as easily as the Pitta type constitution, what can happen is their body can start to store undigested food pretty easily, and it can weigh them down. And what the weight feels like for a Vata is unintegrated. It just feels like it's on the body, but it's not part of the body. Whereas a Kapha type that has extra weight, the Kapha is so, they're already able to hold more. They're already more cohesive. So they can hide quite a bit away. Like I can hide pretty easily a good 15 pounds on my constitution. I mean,
it distributes well for Kaphas. Whereas for Vatas, it sits mostly around their hips and around their thighs. And because it looks like a pear shape.
Yeah.
Whereas Kaphas is like, oh, it's like when you say, oh, you carry it well. Then it's more like a Kapha who has excess weight.
Yeah. Yeah. And Kaphas won't be as burdened by carrying extra weight. Like a Kapha can get away with a little bit more that way. They won't there because they don't have that sensitivity and that more fragile nature of their physiology. So they can kind of get away with a little bit more. But the problem is that for a Kapha, it'll weigh them down. And then they'll feel stuck. It'll be harder to exercise. It'll be harder to move. Kapha also, like I talked about before, it has a lot of attachment. So because of that, it's easier to have just a food attachment a lot more. I mean, anyone can have emotional eating, but it's going to be harder for Kaphas to let go because they're attaching, they're connecting, they're cohesing, they're gathering. So it's harder to pivot. And that's the harder part for Kapha with excess weight. Now, Pitta types with excess weight, what happens with Pitta, it's really kind of fascinating, is they're so driven by fire that part of this intensity is they have an intensity of appetite. So someone that gets hangry, someone that feels like, oh my gosh, I always need to eat. I don't want my blood sugar to fall low. Part of the intensity of appetite is keeping that drive going, going, going. And Pittas will tend to burn out. Their medicine is taking a chill pill, like relaxing, doing less, taking time off. Instead of being so focused, starting to zone out and relax. This has been something for me personally, because I have a lot of Pitta in my mind and in my personality. Like people that try to keep up with me on the intellectual level or on like the business level are just like, how does she do all that? Right. And that's just my nature. But the part of the problem is you need fuel. Pittas are using fuel to keep that drive going, going, going. Often what happens is Pittas will overeat because they have such strong digestion. They can get away with so much. But as you age, as you move into these different phases of life, from kapha phase to pitta phase, and from pitta phase, say you're, you know, say like 30, 35, and there you can eat a lot. By the time you're 40, 45, 50, 55, you're starting to shift more and more into the subtlety, and you just don't need to eat that much food. But the pittas are used to it. They're used to being really intense processors, and they can become kind of addicted to having a very strong appetite. And so for pittas that are overweight, usually it's an accumulation that happens after, usually it doesn't start to gather. I mean, now it's different because processed foods, really, I'm seeing this so much with children and with teenagers and with young adults as they're growing up in a sedentary culture. They're growing up with a lot of screen time. They're growing up in a processed food industry that they can, pittas now, where we didn't see pittas overweight before in past generations. Now we're starting to see younger kids of any constitution be obese or gross obese earlier and earlier in life due to basically the habits of the family. But in general, people in the past, it's like, if you didn't start to gain weight until a little bit later, and it's because you were driven by your appetite and you didn't eat less as you got older, usually that's more of a pitta type of a tendency.
I'm seeing a lot of questions, Kate, around from all directions around constitution and imbalance. Do you want to get into that at all?
Yeah. Let's do that next. That's a great idea. Dorothy, I love that you wrote that I'm smitten. Yeah, that's how I felt. It's like, for me, I just want to, I'll tell the story and then I'll get into imbalance. I really struggled, like, as a, the shift for me from like being a kid into being a teenager, I didn't know I was pitta kapha. So I didn't know my constitution. I feel like everyone here can probably relate to this, right? It's like, I didn't know my unique vehicle that I was driving, both in body and in mind. And I didn't know which habits were really the ones I should focus on to balance my body and my mind. And so I developed, I'd say, as a kid, I don't really remember having, I had a lot of sickness stuff, but I don't remember having like sort of emotional body issues. But as soon as I hit my preteen years and teen years, I started to feel out of sync with culture. And I think a lot of people can relate to this, if it's like, you don't feel like you look like you're supposed to look. And so then you start to alter your diet or alter your lifestyle in order to look a certain way. And to me, this is really the power of constitution. The more you can understand yourself, the more you can move into yourself, the more you'll actually be embodied, and you'll embody the elements that you are, you'll embody your constitution. And from there, what starts to happen is your dharma, and we'll get more into this on the fourth call, but your dharma starts to actually direct from the level of constitution. So for instance, because I'm pitta kapha, my mind moves fast and my body's really stable, I can take on a lot. And so I do, I choose to do that. But I didn't know in that day and age. So what I tried to do was like morph myself to look like somebody else. And that's really, to me, what we're trying not to do here. Now, each of the constitutions in mind, if we break it into categories, and we say, so we'll talk about vata types. And remember, that is where the energy goes different ways. Pitta types, that's where the energy increases. Kapha types, this is where the energy gathers or cohesis. And then if we look at body and mind and what goes out of balance. Let me just make this a little smaller. Okay. So we'll look at body and mind, and we'll do this in a way that we jump around. So we're going to talk now, what we've been talking about before to a degree is what we call prakriti. And this is your constitution.
And that does not change over time. That's been asked a few times on the chat. So constitution stays. That's what you're born with. When you die, it's still the same thing.
Same. Now, vikriti is, this is the nature of imbalance. So I'm just going to write what is out of balance. And I'll use an example. of myself again. So as a teenager, I had snot, I had allergies, and they were super snotty. Now snot, that's water, like a lot of mucus. I also would gain, I was kind of an exerciseaholic, but if I wasn't, I would gain weight. So I balanced that natural tendency to cohese energy with exercising. I also had fibrocystic breasts. And that's where like the breasts get kind of, they get kind of junky, right? Where it's like, it's not a smooth, clean energy in the breasts. With PMS, I would just get a lot of swelling. So my breasts would double or triple in size between the day after my period stopped and 2.5-3 weeks later. That's fibrocystic breasts. It's all really common. I would gain the type of water weight or weight I would gain. It would come and it would go. So it was more of that watery nature. Those are all imbalances in kapha. Now, lucky me, because I had so much pitta in the mind, I also had migraines. And this can come from excess focus, excess drive, like go, 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 and not learning how to diffuse my focus, not learning how to do nothing, how to rejuvenate, how to just lay on the grass and watch the clouds go by and not worry about things. And that's the nature of pitta out of balance. We could say, actually, I'll move migraines to mind. Body, mind. If we look at imbalances, typical imbalances with vata, vata types in the mind will tend to experience overwhelm. And just the feeling, again, this can be every day where it's like every day feels like it's a little bit too much, like there's just too much to do and there's not enough time to do it. And this is one of the key Vikrutis of vata in the mind. And this can happen to any constitution. So if you're like, wow, I'm kapha pitta, but I'm scattered and I'm overwhelmed, then you have an imbalance of vata. And again, this is why like with Ayurveda, it's like you first start learning about it and it seems simple. And then the more you learn about it, it takes on a complexity. And then the more you learn, that complexity gets integrated and it's simple again. But right now it might get a little complex. So right now we could say that because of the nature of modern life, even if we look at like the number of images someone sees a day compared to human history, and even if we just go back 100 years, like think of like even what we're doing right now, like we're learning things, I'm talking fast, I'm showing you all these different slides, you're with all these different people, we're in a virtual environment. This has an ungrounding, it can have an ungrounding effect, especially if you've got to be somewhere right after this and right after that and right after that and right after that. And then you got to feed the kids and then you got to clean up the meal and then you got to put the stuff away and then you got to check your email one last time. And then, right. And that is the nature of modern life where we're taking in so much stimulation, so much input. And what happens with vata is because the energy is already going every which way, right? It can go in any direction. It's just constantly going in too many directions. And then the person doesn't feel the sense of cohesion of kapha or the rootedness. And this can lead to like a breakdown. I mean, it can lead to anxiety. We had a member in Living Ayurveda a couple of years ago, and she started having, she came into the course because she was having panic attacks. She had had anxiety for a while. And then she started having panic attacks and she was like, you know, and her, she went to the doctor, and we all know what happens when you go to the doctor, the panic.
Oops. Kate disappeared, didn't she? Can you guys hear me? Okay. She'll be
yeah,
right
that
back.
Was, yeah, that was
can hear you.
A real panic attack, Kate.
Yeah. Fit right in there.
Panic.
Very true.
panic. That's what I heard.
Me too. Yeah.
Oh, I hope she can come back.
She'll be back. I can say a few words that came to mind just to make it very clear. The Bhikkhuti, or the place that we go out of
panic.
You guys see that too, right?
Panic.
Quite the demonstration.
Yes, she's still panicking.
Oh, God.
You want to carry on, Alexander?
Well, yeah, if I start talking, she's going to panic again. Well, I'm afraid.
Okay. I'm good. Yeah, sometimes when we have so many people on Zoom, my Zoom freezes. So in any case,
gotcha.
That was pretty hilarious with the example of panic. That's
perfect timing.
There she is.
Yeah, no, go ahead, Alex. We're going to say something. Please do.
Oh, yeah. I was just going to say, just to make that clear, that Vikruti, or the place that you're out of balance, that can change over time, and it will change over time. And it could be that, I don't know, in your teenage years, you had excess pitta, and then as you age, you have excess vata. That's perfectly possible. However, the likelihood that you're going out of balance in one of the doshas that you already have a lot of is very likely. So say Kate has a lot of kapha already. So we see that in her teenage years, the snot and the gaining weight in the fibrocystic breasts, those are all kapha, because she already had a lot of kapha. The likelihood that she goes out of balance in kapha is very high.
Yeah. So, I mean, the principle that we talk about with that is like increases like, and opposites reduce each other. So when we already have a tendency, the likelihood that that's going to increase can be very high. So vatas tend to go out of balance in vata, pittas tend to go out of balance in pitta, kaphas tend to go out of balance in kapha. But the deal is like in this day and age, because the time that we're living right now is so high in both vata and pitta, meaning there's a lot of drive, there's a lot of push. It's like, be all you can be, get it done on time. There's an intensity to just living on the earth today. The climate is clearly warming. The climate's changing, right? There's a pressure and intensity that the earth is experiencing, that because we're inhabitants of the earth, like we're all in this together, right? We're also experiencing, it's called ecological distress disorder. We're gonna see a lot more of that in the future. And our kids are gonna see a lot of it in their future, right? And that's just part of living through a mass extinction that we're currently living through. So because of those pressures, that puts pressure on vata's fragility and its sensitivity. And so those of you who have more vata sensitivity or pitta understanding and more of a future orientation, you're gonna be much more aware of that than maybe some of the people around you. And then just the being on screens, being on social media, being in these devices, we're getting so much stimulation, so much more than the human mind is accustomed to in the past. And we're very quickly adapting. I mean, that's the cool things about, I'd say about humans, is we're highly adaptive. And same thing with the planet. The planet's highly adaptive. The plant life on the planet is highly adaptive. So we're gonna go through a massive shift in adaptation. But in the, you know, in these adjustment periods, we all might experience quite a bit more vata imbalance and pitta imbalance than we might have had this not been the day and age that we were living. So what are some
question
other...
Sorry, there was another question that I wanted to attend to. So somebody named M, I don't know whoever that was, as we learned, she's asking, or he's asking, as we learn to deal with stress and become more grounded, is it possible to move towards kapha even though we are aging? It's a problem to move. You can more distinctly say when you know your dosha and you get to know yourself better, you know what practices and what foods keep you in balance. It doesn't mean that your kapha necessarily increases to the level of your friends or to the level that Kate has maybe, but it means that you can fully experience yourself more and you know how to deal with the effects of aging more effectively. So as an example, I had clients who were marathon runners. Well, they weren't actually clients. They were people who came to my free talk. And they were not going to give up marathon running, but they were all at the age of around 55, which is the time of life where Vata rises. And marathon running is not exactly a great thing for as you age. However, so then these women were not going to give up marathon running. What did they have? They all had menopausal symptoms, but big time, like really big time. Mm. And that's an example of what happens when you don't know your dosha, you don't know your constitution, and you don't have the tools and the skills to actually get yourself to a place where you are you. That makes sense.
Yeah. So the another way of saying what Alex just said is you can learn how to become rooted in yourself. And there's so much in Ayurveda that you can learn how, like, okay, this is what I really need to do for me, given that in this example, given that I still want to run, like given yeah. that I also don't want to experience, you know, hot flashes and brain fog and all these other symptoms that are happening. So how do I get to do both?
Exactly.
And that's what learning your constitution is so much about, right? And this is where Ayurveda goes into food and it goes into seasonal living and it goes into daily habits and more and more understanding your nature of your constitution, your nature of your mental constitution, your nature of the phase of life that you're in, and the nature of the current imbalances that you might have. And you get to start to design. It's a lot about design thinking. It's a lot about how do you design for what you want to experience next, given what's reality right now. And it's just such a powerful way to start to orient to whatever's arising in life. And I'll just use an example on myself. Like as I've learned more and more about that not everyone's as intense as I am, I've learned like, oh, I'm a pretty intense person. I really have a lot of pitta in my mind. And what I've learned to do is to take the focus off and to relax and to diffuse. And so even the way I schedule my calendar is very spacious. It has a lot of space element and that gives me a lot more room for my natural creativity. And then I also learned over time how to take breaks, how to be seemingly less productive, which actually makes me much more productive because what I'm getting done is less of this like intense busyness, which might not take into account a grounded, that's kapha, bigger picture, that's vata. So even like before today's call, I went and we have property that has a creek going through it and it's freezing cold, snow melt. And I just, you know, I sat in the cold creek with the sun on me and just relaxed and let my mind do nothing. And I often will do this where I won't take in stimulation except for from natural sounds. And that very much balances the pitta part of the mind. And that's sort of it, you know, as you get to know yourself and you get to know more about constitutions and the elements and how the elements are always all around you, you can start to focus on the elements that you need more of directly as medicine. I believe we're going to release a podcast on this on yoga health coaching in the next week or two. And I think it's called Elements as Medicine and it's a meditation. It's not really it's kind of a meditation, but it's more of like a tuning in. It's more of an inquiry practice and a tuning in. So yeah, if you're interested in that, like that's part of it. That's part of what we really teach in living Ayurveda and what we teach in Ayurveda in general. It's like the solutions for balance in general are free. They don't cost you anything. It's just a rearrangement of how you use what's around you and how you use time. And how you use space and how you use your focus and how you use your fluidity and how you use your groundedness. And those are the five elements. And the more you become facile with that, the more you can design the experience that you want to have next. It also helps us design for the experiences we want. If you're taking care of elders or you're taking care of children, it helps design for that. So an example of that, I have a 13-year-old and I could tell the other day that like her energy was scattered. She was going towards a vata imbalance, which means that, you know, her susceptibility of she could get sick, she could have an injury, and she's a gymnast, she could get injured more easily. That's what happens when vata gets scattered, as injuries increased, including things like car accidents. Like anything that scatters your awareness makes you much more fragile in the fast-paced world that we live in today. And so when I, you know, just noticing that her energy was out there and she needed grounding, I grabbed the dog and we laid down, me and the dog laid down on her bed in her room, because that's her rooted place. That's her home base. And we brought a heavy, cozy, squishy, cohesive, lovey-dovey earth energy right into her home base. So again, it costs us nothing. And we're just, you might notice, you're like, oh, I naturally do this. And the more you learn about Ayurveda, you're like, oh, I naturally do a lot of this, but I can more skillfully do the things that are leading me out of balance. Awesome, you guys. So I just want to say that I know many of you have gotten emails on this. The Living Ayurveda course starts in October. We have a number more of these free workshops. I hope you share them with people that you think that would also benefit from this. And if you're interested in learning more about what we actually do in the course, go to yogahealer.com/living-ayurveda-course. In the beginning, I said I'd tell you what Ayurveda is. Ayu means life, and Veda is wisdom. So it's really the wisdom, living wisdom, or the wisdom of life, so that you can really live your best life. Thanks for being here with me, Alex. So appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yay.
Thank you too. Yay.
Awesome. And we'll send the recording. So if you guys want to share this with other people, you're more than welcome to do that. Yay. All right. If anyone wants to unmute and say goodbye, you're more than welcome to.
Hi, everybody.
Hi.
Thank you.
Bye. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Much appreciated.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.